Amen. Aren't we thankful for the Holy Spirit of truth, that he is with us, within us, and he speaks through and uses his word, and that it's not in the vessels, it's in the word and it's in the spirit. And so as Wayne has been preaching through a series on family and the home, and last week was on idolatry and the idols of the heart, and well, the Lord is using those words by his spirit. He's creating the pattern. This is the work of the Holy Spirit when he brings his word. He creates the pattern. I don't sit down with Wayne and coordinate what we're going to be speaking on next and how we're going to, but things come together as a puzzle, don't they? And the Lord's word, it is for his people, and it's for their edification, for our benefit, for our help. And so we rely on the Holy Spirit, and I rely on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that we could have come this morning, as was already said, as was already prayed, that we are coming to the living God. We are coming to the sanctuary, and we pray that our hearts might be open, Lord, this morning. I pray that our hearts might be open to your word and to the moving of your spirit, that it may take your word and make it real. I pray even now that our eyes would be illumined, that you would exhort us, that you would challenge us. Yes, Lord, that you would encourage us. And above all, we pray that we might be a people that give glory and honor alone to the name of Jesus Christ. We ask this now, and I ask your help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Max read for us quite a lengthy portion, and I won't read it all out again, but here we have a situation where Saul is confronted. He's confronted because he has a real heart issue. Remember last week, Pastor Wayne spoke on the sin of idolatry and how the heart, the seat of affection, the seat of the will, the driving force, it is either set on the worship of God or on the worship of idols. And here in a similar vein, we read of a rebuke that was brought, in fact, a great and tremendous rebuke that changed the course of history and of the kings of Israel, where Saul was confronted by the word of the prophet. He was confronted by the word of God, the word of the prophet that came. Now, we understand here in this passage that Saul is commanded to obey the Lord. He is commanded to destroy the Amalekites and to destroy the spoil, not to take anything back. So we read of Saul going out into battle and but taking of the spoil and keeping the king of Amalek alive, King Agag. And he's confronted by Saul, by Samuel rather, and Samuel says these poignant words, and I'd like if we could please look at verse 22 of that chapter, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel is standing as the minister of God, as the very word of God, as the prophet, and says to Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Poignant words. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Very known verse in scripture, and a very known account in the word of God that changed the course of Israel and the leadership of God's people. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And last week Wayne was speaking on idolatry, the issue of the heart. And it's very important to note that verse that says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and as man's heart is set on idolatry, the natural man's natural heart is set on rebellion. I'm the first one to admit that here today. That's the natural man. The natural man, just as Adam and Eve, their hearts, the heart of man, was set on rebellion. It's in the heart of man. It's in the heart of a child. The child is born and the child rebels. There's a tendency, there's a will to rebel, to go against authority. That's in our nature. That's in Adam's nature. But we thank God for the transforming nature. We thank God for the Spirit of God, which transforms our nature and works against Adam's nature. But here we see one who is anointed of God, one who is from Israel, one of God's people, being challenged and being rebuked. And this is a rebuke and a warning. There is a verse here which says, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And that's a very powerful thing to say. In fact, if you look back in Deuteronomy, what is witchcraft and rebellion? Why are these two things so intertwined? I want to just focus on that just for a moment. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, because we have such mixture in our world today, it's important to go over these verses. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9 says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, this is to God's people, this is to the church, this is the church that's brought out of the world, this is the church that's in the world but not of the world. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Let me tell you, friends, we are in a society which practices witchcraft, loves witchcraft and rebellion, and glorifies it. That is our society. In fact, in Darwin recently, in the Northern Territory, the witchcraft law was revoked this past week. I don't know if you read about that. There was an old standing law which prohibited witchcraft, but that was thrown out. It's now allowed. But we know that it goes on. In what forms does it go on, witchcraft? And why is witchcraft and rebellion the same thing? And why? How powerful this is to understand. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or the daughter pass through the fire. We know of pagan sacrifice and pagan worship. We know that the bodies of children, the bodies of newborns were presented before idols. We know that there were those nations around about the people of God who practiced these abominations, who sacrificed their children, sacrificed their very own flesh and blood to idols that could not speak for various reasons, but predominantly also to seek the blessing of those gods, of those idols. They caused their daughters, their sons to pass through the fire. Today, friends, abortion is natural to the world. It is a normal thing to murder a child in the womb and even on the border and the verge of coming out of the womb. And even now, laws being passed that a child may be left to die for the purpose, 95% of the time, for gain, because that child was a mistake. Friends, today, witchcraft, rebellion is practiced openly. And the practice of causing a child to be burnt in the womb is the same as a child being passed through the fire in that account. You shall not learn to follow the abomination of the nations around you. Anyone who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, palm reading, star signs, Ouija boards. How many things are natural in our society? How many things are acceptable and accepted even by people in the church? This is the day and age we live in. Anyone who practices these things, or anyone who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. There are TV shows, there are people who are calling up the dead. This is normal, this is natural. This is the abomination. This is the world we live in. This is the society. It's the same as when the Lord spoke in Deuteronomy and says, you shall not, when you come into the land, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. For all who do these things, all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. The Lord has not appointed these things for us. These things are important to note because when the church is influenced by the world, we've got to come back to the Word. We've got to come back to the Word of God, the soundness of the Word. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Now, many are saying, well, I wouldn't ever practice those things. I wouldn't ever go to a soothsayer or one who reads palms or follows the star signs or whatever. But you know, rebellion is in us, and we've got to see that seed, and we've got to, by the Spirit of God, overcome by the Spirit of God, by obedience. And that was the core of what Samuel, by the Word of God, was speaking to Saul about. Remember the account, I'm not going to read it all out, but remember Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts. Remember, he practiced witchcraft. He had a following. He, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, when he saw that the Holy Spirit was given, he also wanted that power. Now, this is after he was baptized. This is after he professed Christ. He comes as a follower of Christ, but he sees his power and he wants to partake of this. And he wanted to pay the apostles to get this power. And Peter says to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, it's a heart matter. Your heart is not right. You're entertaining rebellion. You're entertaining witchcraft. Last week we heard about idolatry. We're not to entertain this. This will come up. Idolatry, rebellion will come up in the hearts of God's people. I'm not talking to sinners. I'm not talking to soothsayers. I'm talking to myself and to us. This is a matter of the heart. God is zealous and jealous for all of our hearts, that we be dedicated to Him, that we be obedient to Him. And here we see the great rebuke that came. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of your wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. The thought of your heart. Your heart is not right. Oh, how we need hearts that are right in the sight of God. Oh, God sees our failings. He sees our weaknesses. And we need hearts that are obedient and right in the sight of God. You know, the Lord Jesus, if you ever want to see a model of obedience, that is it. We have the Scriptures. As from a child, He did the will of the Father. He was obedient to the will of the Father. To obey is better than sacrifice. You know, you can have religion, you can have sacrifice, but it's a counterfeit. If all it is outward, religious counterfeit, but if you are truly broken, if you're an obedient Christian, then you will understand that Christ was obedient to death. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Those who are around the Lord Jesus asked. And he turns to the 12, will you also depart? But Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? The Lord Jesus has the words of eternal life, and he calls obedience until death. And that death is eternal life. It's a death from here, from this, the wretchedness and the sin of this world, and a passing to the life that He's given us. The world is pulling at our hearts. The world is pulling at our hearts. And you know, our own hearts can be so deceived. But the Lord Jesus calls us to obedience. It's an issue of the heart. As we've read in these Scriptures, it's a heart issue. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He did the will of the Father. This was the Lord's life. He was obedient to the will of the Father. Whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In the Gospel of John, he said, I can do of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. I seek not my own will. You see how compromise kills. Brothers and sisters, people of God, compromise kills the will of the Father. His obedience and conformity was unto death. Remember, as he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee, but take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Remember his obedience. The Lord Jesus' obedience was unto death. And because of that death, because of his obedience, we can enter into life. We can enter into that life, that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But in that life, we are called to obedience. Not for merit of salvation. Not for merit of salvation, but to the pleasing of the Lord, to the pleasing of the one who bought us with a great price. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Remember, Pastor Wayne shared on also the book of Romans, as we are to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world. Do not follow and practice the abominations of the world that is around you, because those abominations are rebellious and they are the sin of witchcraft. And so openly witchcraft is practiced in our society. Though he were a son, Hebrews says, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Christ has not promised us a suffer-free life. No, in fact, in this world we will have tribulations. But as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, in Adam's case and in ours, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's our hope. That's our hope. Now we are to pursue obedience. Now we are to pursue obedience. Let this mind be in you. This is what Romans said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. It's a conforming of the mind. The heart is where the emotion is, the seat, the driving force of the will. Oh, isn't it good if the Lord could say of us, your heart is right in my sight, my servant, my child, my son, my daughter. Isn't that the great delight of the Christian? To know that they're in fellowship with God, that they're walking in obedience to the living God. In spite of their failings, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of the attacks and trials and tribulations, that they can hear the voice of the Spirit saying to them, my son, my daughter, I'm well pleased with you. That is a great, great blessing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians states, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Friends, this is for us. This is the Christian life. We must be willing to go and be obedient to our Lord to the point of death. Obedience to the Lord Jesus. There is no life in Christ without that death. Without that death to the natural man and to self. And without that continual preparedness to be readied at any moment to depart and be with our Lord, which is far better, which is far better. Friends, this is the hope of the Christian. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and we know every tongue shall confess. And friend, if you're here today, if you're a child, if you're a visitor, if you have not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I want to declare to you that one day your knee will bow, and it may be the time when you are judged. It may be at the time where you will be thrown into the lake of fire, but you will bow, and everyone will bow, and every soothsayer, and those who practice rebellion, and those who even today are disobedient, one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is an awesome thing to behold. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Can I address you this morning? Can I address this congregation? You know, Saul went for temporal gain, and he was sorely disappointed. This attitude of compromise in the heart, this attitude of compromise. Now, parents, we're filters for our children. You know, the heart of our child is as a sponge, and it seeks affection, it seeks that to worship, as we heard last week. Consider how our hearts are set on worship, a worship either of something that is made and seen and now, or the true worship, which is the worship of the invisible God. That is the true worship. You know, when the new man is created within, when a new heart is given, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, with the word of God written on our hearts, the Spirit longs for that worship of God. But the default nature of the flesh, of the sinful man, is rebellion, just as it is idolatry. And we see this in a child. We see that. And if we will love the child, we will not spare the rod, but we will lovingly correct that child. The world talks about the terrible twos, and the world gives excuses for rebellion. And you know, that's a precious, precious time when you see a child developing, when you see a child who is two, who is three. But rebellion must be dealt with. When the child exerts their will above the will of their parents, it is time to intervene. It is time to intervene as a parent and not let that go. God is perfect, though we make mistakes. But it's not cute when a 2 and 3 year old chucks a tantrum. It's not cute. It's not something to laugh at. It's not cute. Because when that child is 15, they will throw a different kind of tantrum, and they'll be bigger and they'll be stronger than your authority. Children must be dealt with. Rebellion must be dealt with. You must build a relationship with that child. You must have a relationship, but you must never spare the rod when it comes to rebellion. Because rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft. That's how powerful the word of God is on this. In our society, it's accepted that a 2 and 3 year old will chuck tantrums and that a teenager will rebel against their parents because of hormonal whatever. It's acceptable because the society out there is as the society that Deuteronomy addressed. It's not God's people. This does not happen in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not normal for the Church of the Living God. This is acceptable in society. It's acceptable for the world, but it's not for God's people. The Bible talks about young men as being strong and overcoming the world. The Bible talks of arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are the children of the youth. The Bible talks about children as being a blessing and a heritage of the Lord. The Bible does not allow for rebellion. In any way, shape or form. In any way, shape or form. And God deals with us as parents because of our rebellious nature. And when we rebel against God, even though He's transforming us, even though He's conforming us, None of us can say that rebellion doesn't enter our hearts and rebellious notions don't come into play that we don't later confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm not on the throne. You truly are on the throne. You are God and you are truly on the throne. Be on the throne of my heart. Be on the throne of my heart. You know, this world teaches us that it's okay, that this is normal and acceptable. This behavior from children, this behavior from teenagers. The scripture has nothing to say on that. And there's nothing given in scripture to allow it. We must lovingly intervene and have a relationship as parents with children, as older parents with your children, whatever state or position, whatever influence you have, maybe it's your own children, maybe it's the children of a Sunday school, maybe it's the children in the schools. There's a loving relationship that must be built up, but rebellion must and cannot be tolerated. It cannot. And you know, and sitting back and allowing the child to develop and allowing a teenager to go its own way is like allowing the winds and the waves and all hell to be upon the foundation of that child's life, of that teenager's life. This passive parenting, this sitting back and letting society rule, letting whatever rule, oh, the child will just, he'll turn out all right. We must lovingly intervene. The child needs a salvation. A child needs a foundation and salvation. But compromise. Parents, can I address you? Can I address myself? If I'm allowing compromise in my life and in my home, if I entertain rebellion, what I do in moderation, my children will do in excess. What I allow in moderation, my children will see and they will do in excess. And this is how deep it goes. It cuts right to the root. It cuts right to the heart so that we're left helpless, so that we're left without strength in the flesh, and we rely on the Lord. We rely on the living God, moment by moment, day by day. Help us, O Lord. Compromise in our home. Parents, if you allow yourselves to get tipsy, to get drunk, do not be surprised when your children grow up to be teenagers and are running to wild parties. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. Where drinking and sensuality is present, this is not for the church of God. This is not for the people of God. This is not Christian living. This is not the New Testament church. This is the world's invention. And lo, a few years and man is gone, like a vapor, like a blade of grass. Parents, we've got to search our hearts. It's an issue of the heart. Have we allowed some rebellion? Have we allowed some disobedience to God? Search it out. If you allow your children to play with books, with TV shows that are filled with rebellion and witchcraft, do not be surprised, parents. Do not be surprised when your children grow up and they turn to other mediums and they try and get in touch with the spiritual realm. There are books that come into our home through whatever means and or given to by friends, and the content in some is unbelievable. The teenage witch, this is just normal. This is normal speech. I want to describe to you that the society we live in, witchcraft and rebellion is common speech. And in Deuteronomy, the rebuke came to the people of God and the warning to the people of God that you're not part of this. You have something holy and high to hope for. But it plays on the flesh and it feels good to the natural man. Rebellion and witchcraft are the same thing. If you make sport a god in your home, if there is more sport than devotion to God in your family, Do not be surprised when your children grow up and they would rather be at the football on a Sunday than meeting with God's people. This is so black and white, but it's so common. It's so common because there is a war. There is a war in the spiritual realm for the heart, for the seat of affection, for the seat of where the will is. And God is zealous and jealous for the heart of his people. He said, you will love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart. With all your heart. And look at Saul. Look at Saul. He comes to church. He comes to worship. He's not some wicked sinner out there. He is the anointed of the Lord. And he comes to the place of worship, the leader of God's people. And he brings his compromise. He brings rebellion. He brings witchcraft. He brings stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry. And the word of God comes through the prophet to convict that. Is the word of God speaking to any of us this morning? Is the word of the prophet, is the word of the Spirit speaking to any heart this morning? Is your affection for Jesus Christ, for God alone, is he ruling on the throne room of your heart? Is he the ruler? Has he got the first and the last say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You may give all the money you have. You may give your body to be burnt. You may show all manner of external sacrifice. And God alone is pleased with the heart. Remember, he said, everything in this world, hear my people, I will speak of Israel. I will testify in the psalm. He said, I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. That's poignant. That's important. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, friends. This is the reality. God wants our whole heart. He wants all that you are. To obey is better than sacrifice. Everything we give back to God, he first gave us. Everything. Your money, your health, your children, possession, whatever you might have. Your intellect, your ability. Your position, everything you have is from God. Everything we have. Ought not we to give all back to him? All back to him. And present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is our reasonable service. We have replaced the temporary and the idolatrous for the holy sanctuary of God. Remember what David said? A day in your courts, a moment in your courts is better than 1,000. But we've replaced the sensual, the temporary, the idolatrous for the holy sanctuary of God. As we come today and as we come daily, daily, not just today, but as we come daily, we come to worship upon a mountain. We come to the living God. We come to the flame of fire which spoke out of that burning bush that says, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes. To him we come, to the living God. Not to me, not to the preacher, not just to me. Not, I beg your pardon, to me at all. Not just me, I meant to say, but all of us. All of us. We have come to worship upon a mountain. Not just the preacher that has to offer up his body a living sacrifice. Not Wayne. Not every man. We have come to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Saul had this spirit of compromise. Can you identify it? Can you identify it? Can you identify rebelliousness in your own heart? Do you want to be free from it? Don't you want to be set free from your rebellion? Don't you hate it? There is one kind of rebellion which is allowed in the Bible. And I want to talk to all of us here, but I particularly want to talk to the children and to the young teens, young adults perhaps. There is a rebellion that is allowed in the Bible. And it's a rebellion against this system of corrupt thinking and worldly living. Against what this society holds dear. There is a rebellion. And friends, children, young people, if you want to rebel, you're allowed to rebel against the world because it wants to conform you to its image. But you must rebel against it. You must go against it. Oppose yourself to it. Not oppose yourself to God, which is witchcraft, but oppose yourself to the world. Young teens, you've permission to rebel, not against your Creator and Father, but against the world and the devil and the evil desires in your heart. Rebel against that. Rebel against it. Rebel against the fashions of this world that want to tempt you, that want to seduce you, that want you to expose your body in a sensual manner. Rebel against it. Because it'll have you, eat you, chew you up, and then spit you out. Rebel against it. Rebel against this world that wants to have you and own you for a short time and then will chew you up and spit you out because that's what it does best. Sensuality. All of those things which are so prevalent. Rebel against the thinking of this world that greed and that gain equals success. Rebel against that thinking. Be opposed to it. Oppose it. Because that's not the Bible. Because the world has made success and your position and your status the thing, hasn't it? Go against it. Pursue God's measure of success. Go against it that you may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Rebel against the idea that you are here for a short time and for a good time to live for self. To live for self-gain. Rebel against that lifestyle. The lifestyle that the world glorifies, which is that you're the center of the universe and you're in this world to have good, to have gain. Rebel against that. Pursue godliness. Pursue godliness. As obedient children, pursue godliness. Turn your back on compromise. Say no. Say no. There is a tendency in you to disobey God. Turn that tendency around to disobey those things which God hates. Friends, the spirit of Saul, the spirit of compromise, is alive and well. It's alive and well today. Some religion, some sacrifice, but mingled with compromise, God is not well pleased. God says in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. It's that transformation that we need. The transformation of the heart, the transformation of the mind. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. As obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Children, remember the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Parents, build a loving relationship with your children and deal with any hint of rebellion. in a godly manner. Build a loving, loving relationship with your children. But you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke them. Bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. You know, Proverbs gave a great warning against disobedience. In Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. I read that with my boys, and one of my boys says, that doesn't literally mean what it means, does it? There's a spiritual meaning behind it, is what he was saying. There's something spiritual behind it. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, this is acceptable practice. I raise this because this is the society we're in. This is what's influencing your kids. This is the reality of where we live. Eyes mocking fathers. Scorning obedience to their mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out. The young eagles will eat it. What they're saying is you'll go through life blind. You'll go through life blind. Have no eyes. The person that mocks their father, the child, adult child. If I don't honor my parents, if those who are older among us and your parents living don't have that honor, this is applicable to you. This is applicable to all. We are to be obedient to the Lord. And the Lord calls for obedience. As obedient children, not conforming to the former lusts, that it may be well with you. There is promise, there is blessing. Are we obedient children? Are we being taught? Shall we pray the Lord's Prayer earnestly? Can we pray the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Thy will be done"? Is that our heart? He said to them, when you pray, say, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That is a prayer. That is the longing of my heart. And I am a fallible man and I fall short daily. But God looks down and he sees my repentance and obedience. He looks down and he checks my heart. Where are our hearts this morning? Won't we set our hearts on the living God? Won't we be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we pray? Heavenly Father, oh, I pray, Lord, you would use this word in spite of me, Lord. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would come alongside each and every one and would revive, rekindle this word. I pray that there would be no heart of Saul here today. I pray that there would be no compromise, that there would be nothing, Lord, that stands between, that we may, Lord, be diligent to be found in you without spot and wrinkle. That we might, as we read, be holy as you are holy. That we may, Lord, as obedient children, not fashion ourselves according to the former lusts. Lord, this world is lusting after so much. And Lord, we can just so easily be swept away by it. And it's a matter and it's a condition of the heart. You said, O Lord, that we shall love you with all our heart, with all our strength, with our soul, with all our mind, with all our might. This is our prayer, O Lord. And to obey is better than sacrifice. You want our lives, Lord. You want us to come to you daily. And we want to give you our hearts, Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray. Help your people, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.